The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Third and final hour now of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to be with you this morning, as always. And what an hour we had in the 7 o'clock hour. If you missed it, you want to check the podcast later when Blake gets the podcast up. Our conversation with Bill Huang, who is the director general of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office, the equivalent of Taiwan's consulate that is based here in Denver, joined us to talk about Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, the fallout from that, and more. It was a fascinating interview with excellent insights. We were then joined by Riley Gaines, who is a 12-time All-American champion for the NCAA in swimming. And she is standing up and speaking out against what's happening in the misuse of Title IX and in changing sports protections for young women as there is a push to advance trans athletes in athletics. Very important discussion. She was excellent. And she's actually at CPAC. I believe she's speaking at CPAC in Dallas. So somebody definitely to listen to if you missed that interview. And I still need to put out the link to the event that will be coming up next Saturday, the 9-pack fundraiser and kickoff event happening down in Colorado Springs. I will tweet that out at Sang Center here in just a little bit. But I am rebooting our Conversations with the Candidates series as we get ready for this general election. We will be doing hour-long interviews with statewide and congressional candidates for office, Republicans, and others. Here, perhaps, we'll get to that later. I'll tease what I have next weekend here on the show. But we will have these discussions in depth with candidates looking forward to what we've got coming up. And our very first one as we reboot this series is the Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District, which is being vacated by Ed Perlmutter because he knows there is a real pickup opportunity here in Colorado for the 7th Congressional District for Republicans. Eric Odland is the Republican nominee, and he joins me now in studio. Sir, welcome. It's good to have you.
Oh, great to be with you, Jimmy. Are you going alphabetical? Is it because my name starts with two A's that I'm first? Or
you know, I hadn't thought about that, but that works. Now, darn it, if I marry myself to that, then I'm going to have a tough time arranging all the candidates. So no, but yes. Very well.
I'm thrilled to be first.
It's good to have you here in studio, be able to spend a full hour having a conversation now that you are the Republican nominee. We had you on a few times in primaries and so forth, but I want to start right from the top. Who is Eric Odland, and why are you running for Congress in the 7th Congressional District?
So I'm a proud husband and father. I have three beautiful children. I live up in Pine in Jefferson County, so I'm up in the mountains, Jimmy. I'm also a West Point graduate as an Army officer, did two tours in combat, Iraq and Afghanistan, real combat tours. I was a tank platoon leader in Iraq, and I commanded a striker reconnaissance troop in Afghanistan on the border with Pakistan. I left the Army as a captain in 2011, then I spent about a decade in the oil and natural gas business. I've drilled oil and natural gas wells safely and sustainably here in Colorado. I know all about the drilling permitting process. But I finished my career managing a $300 million pipeline construction project in Israel as part of a $5 billion project called Leviathan, an offshore platform in the Mediterranean, made Israel a net exporter of natural gas. I left my company. I was wanting to pursue a path more of service, and I was pursuing a PhD to become a counselor to work with veterans and trauma victims, wanting to heal some of those wounds that I had myself. When I was compelled to run for office, seeing the nature of our country, I do believe we're at a crossroads. I think this progressive road is one that leads to ruin. It's destroying this country. And we need wise and sound leadership, people who want to serve their country in this arena. We've got to restore sound governance. And so that's why I'm running for Congress, really a call of duty. I think my children's future is in jeopardy, and I want to protect that. And we've got a lot of work to do there, a lot of issues.
Got the Democrat nominee, Brittany Patterson, who's a far-left state senator. She cleared the field even before Perlmutter officially announced that he was retiring from Congress. What is your fundamental message to voters, particularly unaffiliated voters, for why they should choose Eric Odland over the Democrat opponent?
Well, the Democrats, including my radical progressive opponent, have no solutions for the things affecting everyday Coloradans. Inflation, affordability here in Colorado, crime that's out of control along the Front Range, Denver or Colorado being number one in the nation for auto theft, number one in the nation for bank robberies. It's appalling to me that our great state is now a hotbed of crime and cartel activity, and fentanyl is killing a lot of Coloradans, especially young people. It's one of the leading causes of death in the country between 18 and 45 years old. My opponent has no solutions to these problems. In fact, she helped create them. She's soft on crime, undermined law enforcement, voted to decriminalize fentanyl, started a clean injection site, handing out drug paraphernalia in Denver. Has no solutions to this economic crisis, supports big government, is endorsed by Nancy Pelosi. I can go on and on and on, Jimmy. I'm bringing reasoned leadership and wise solutions to the economy, to the loss of our energy independence. I understand how to address crime and support law enforcement. We're just going to bring reason, leadership, and common sense back to the political arena, and that will help everyday Coloradans.
Again, Eric Odland, our guest, Republican nominee in the 7th Congressional District. Let's talk about the economy, because you're hitting on that right away, and I think it's so wise and the right thing to be focusing on it, because the American people are struggling. Well, we now have the Senate poised to vote this week on the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. And here is Joe Biden, the president, what he had to say about what some are calling, I think aptly, the Bidenflation scam.
We're on the cusp of passing the most important step we can pass to help Congress to help us lower inflation. The Inflation Reduction Act.
He says it's going to help lower inflation, but researchers at the Penn Wharton School with their Penn Wharton budget model, which, by the way, Joe Manchin frequently cites on inflation and budget issues, said in a report released last Friday, that there's low confidence that the legislation will have any impact on inflation, and also that it will very slightly rise until 2024, and then maybe slide after that. How's this helping the American people and people of Colorado?
Well, this bill is going to be disastrous. And if the progressives title a bill, you know it's going to do the exact opposite of what they say it will. It's a lie. It's going to double the size of the IRS, which will be weaponized against the middle class. Most of the tax burden in this bill is put on the middle and lower classes in the country. So it's going to destroy the middle class. It's going to drive up inflation. I mean, inflation is already above 9%, which means that people, so about 9% of the year is a month. What that means is at the current rate of inflation, people work a month with the devaluation of the dollar. They're working that month for free. They're not getting paid for it, essentially, because inflation is counteracting their labor. Inflation is going to continue to rise as the government continues to spend money. If we think that doubling the size of the IRS will reduce waste and abuse in our government, clearly not. So it's going to make things more expensive, and ultimately it is going to be very harmful to economic progress, creating opportunity. It's going to raise taxes on those who are struggling the most. And that does nothing but reduce influx into the Treasury. Every time we lower taxes, in fact, we have a greater cash flow into the U.S. Treasury because it stimulates the economy. So we need to do the exact opposite of what this bill is trying to accomplish, because it will be economically disastrous and it will further harm working class families.
Yeah, when we look at the naming, let's start there. Inflation Reduction Act. Yes, it is so wonderfully named. It's sort of like with the word game that the Democrats are playing with Colorado cashback and the taxpayers' bill of rights, the Tabor refund. They don't want us to know that it's Tabor because they've been trying to gut our protection unique to Colorado in the taxpayers' bill of rights. And it's amazing seeing the media, by the way, highlight that this is not true when they claim that it's sort of just what they're trying to do and downplay anything to do with Tabor. But they play word games all the time, and here we see it at the federal level with this Inflation Reduction Act in the same way that they're playing word games with so-called Colorado cashback to hide the taxpayers' bill of rights that they still want to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best pieces of legislation here in Colorado is the taxpayers' bill of rights, and it must be upheld. It must be protected. I think we need a federal taxpayers' bill of rights. Mm. It would go a long way to protecting the American people from government waste and abuse. We've got to balance the budget. That doesn't mean that we're going to look to take away essential programs like Social Security or Medicare, but we need to be spending within our cash flow. Inflation is a direct result of spending outside of revenue and printing of money to make up that deficit, which devalues the dollar. It's not rocket science. In Colorado, we're fortunate to have Tabor, but we've seen Governor Polis and the liberal legislature do everything they can to try and circumvent it through enacting fees instead of, you know, taxes. They are essentially taxes, especially if they're mandated.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how Polis is pivoting right as we lead up to the midterms. You know, it is political theater. Polis wants to do everything he can to remove that protection. He doesn't want to have to spend within the budget here in Colorado. He wants an unlimited checkbook, much like we have in Congress. And it would be disastrous to the Colorado economy if we got rid of Tabor.
Yeah, Tabor is unique to Colorado, and it is the one thing that we really have as a bulwark against out-of-control government. That's for darn sure. Eric Odland, our guest, Republican candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. Let's hear a little snippet from CNN about the consequences of Bidenflation.
But it's been two quarters in a row of negative GDP growth. I mean, that is an ugly fact. And traditionally, that has been the colloquial way a recession has been defined, two successive quarters of negative GDP growth.
Yeah, I agree that for many people, even though it's not the accurate definition, that has been a colloquial definition.
So we have Jake Tapper of CNN pressing a Biden advisor on the definition of recession. We see inflation out the wazoo. We see all these consequences. And then the Democrats say, well, we have job growth. And because we have these jobs that are making up for the jobs that were crushed by government during the pandemic policies, we should just declare we're not in a recession. We should look at things as being sort of hunky-dory. And so the big question here is, how out of touch are they?
Well, they're completely out of touch, and not all jobs are created equally. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can look at the destruction of the energy industry. Those are high-paying, highly qualified positions that are contributing directly to economic progress and stimulating the economy, whereas just increasing retail jobs or jobs at restaurants does not equate to the same types of jobs. So those statistics can be manipulated to create a false sense of reality. But when we see our economy detracting and inflation rising at the same time, that means that dollars go shorter. They're not as valuable. They've been devalued, and people have less opportunity for high-paying wages to keep up with inflation. And this creates a point where we might be reaching stagflation, where we might even be going. I would say we're in a recession now.
Yeah, I would.
We
too.
Might be entering a depression because everything that this administration is doing is wrong for our economy.
Eric Odland, what would you do differently? Or will you, if you're elected to Congress, when, God willing, you're elected to Congress next January and sworn in next January, what policies would you want to institute to actually address the economic malaise that we're experiencing?
Well, while protecting essential services, I think we need to balance the budget. We need a balanced budget amendment that makes Congress spend within its cash flow. I think we need to seek to lower taxes because that stimulates the economy. We need to restore our energy independence. That's a hedge against inflation. It brings a lot of high-paying jobs. We do it more safely, more cleanly, and sustainably than any other country in the world. That is core to our national security. Oh, by the way, we need to secure our southern border because bad actors are exploiting it, like terrorist elements and cartels, and drugs and weapons and human trafficking is occurring along our porous southern border. And it is the charge of the federal government to protect our borders and to implement sound immigration policy. I want to shore up American strength to make sure that we can project power well into the future, check Chinese aggression, check Russian aggression and Iran and North Korea. The U.S. as a superpower makes the world a safer place. We're a constitutional republic. We have the right values. We protect freedom. We don't want China to take primacy on the globe. And there's a threat of that. I mean, Xi Jinping openly talks about global domination. They are rattling their sabers at Taiwan. It's a very dangerous situation. We need to be strong and able and bring peace through strength policies.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about that foreign policy and specifically China and Taiwan in the next segment with you, Eric Odland. I want to ask one more thing. And to set this up, let's listen to a bit of an exchange between Peter Doocy of Fox News and Karine Jean-Pierre, who, of course, is the White House press secretary, as she brags.
I love the accent.
As she projects a narrative about, oh, look, gas prices are going down.
Okay, and then last one. Why is the president bragging today about gas prices?
Because it's gone down.
It's still $1.72 higher than when he took office.
It has come down in a way that we haven't seen its trajectory coming down in over a decade.
$4 a gallon, okay, though. Is that good?
You want to talk to a nurse or a teacher or a firefighter if having that little bit of breathing room doesn't matter to them?
Our nurses and teachers and firefighters saying gas prices are only $4.11.
I'm saying that even that little bit of breathing room matters to families, especially during this summer when people are traveling.
Karine Jean-Pierre. Eric Odland.
You create a crisis. The Biden administration drives the price up to $5.50, approaching $7 in some areas of the country, and then reduces it by 25 cents and takes credit for it. It's a word salad. It's deceptive to the American people. The Biden administration has de-incentivized capital investment in this country, which is harming the prices directly. The killing of the Keystone XL pipeline, the killing of drilling permits on federal lands, and the bureaucratic red tapes. We've seen that here in Colorado. It is all deceptive tactics. They are manipulating the price to some extent leading up to the midterms to try and get some, garner some support. They've created the crisis to begin with. So,
And then they brag about it because without wanting you to really recognize that they are bragging about it, they are in the sense that they have an agenda on climate change, a radical agenda that is one which requires energy prices to skyrocket in order for them to pull the wool over the American people's eyes and say, well, we need to spend all this money on investing in these things. I mean, we should know this very well in Colorado with our what I call the Green Little Deal and what the Democrats have been doing going after our oil and gas industry. Now the news is that Crested Butte will be the first municipality in Colorado to require that new residential and commercial construction be basically all electric and not utilize natural gas for heating, hot water heating, and appliances starting next January. If that isn't an indication of what they're trying to do at the national level with this Biden policy, I don't know what is. And Pedersen's voted for all of it.
Oh, yeah. She's behind this and ushering in a disastrous Green New Deal. Every time in history, these forced kind of government controls end in failure. What we need is balanced energy policy. Here in Colorado, we should accept all energy sources, whether it's wind and solar, but they can only supplement a very small percentage of energy production because of their economic viability and their efficiency. Oil and natural gas, we're going to be dependent on it for some time. In the meantime, if we want zero emissions technology, we should be exploring nuclear. Molten sodium reactors and the technology behind it have become much safer, much more efficient, much smaller footprint, and are zero emissions. So the fact that we're not exploring nuclear to a greater extent is disturbing to me. This is a political agenda. It is not economically viable. It doesn't serve the people of Colorado. We need balance, and the radical progressives are far too radical and are not bringing common sense to how to solve the energy crisis. In fact, they've created the problem to begin with.
Eric Odland, our guest, he's running as the Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, let's talk about China, Taiwan, and exuding strength on the international stage here as we continue on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Rocking and rolling back, Jimmy Sangenberger here with you. Joe Bonamassa bringing us back. He's at Red Rocks the next couple of nights, tomorrow and Monday. Good to be with you. Really quick, and then we'll get back to our guest, Eric Odland, Republican candidate for Congress. He is the 7th Congressional District nominee, and we'll talk about China and Taiwan in just a moment. But here's breaking news just in the last hour from the Daily Sentinel in Grand Junction. Kevin McCarney, longtime supporter of Tina Peters and an early supporter of former President Donald Trump long before he won the party's nomination in 2016, said he's fed up with backing her, saying she's now acting like a petulant child crying about not getting her way. And all she's doing now is dragging the party down, McCarney said. It takes quite a bit to get me there, but she got me, he said in an interview. My real problem is we Republicans have an election to win and a real chance to win it, and she's not going to allow that to happen. In a letter to the Daily Sentinel that is to appear in Sunday's edition, McCarney compared Peters to a character in an original Star Trek episode, The Squire of Gothos, of a seemingly all-powerful alien, General Trelane, who abducts members of the crew, but later turns out to be nothing more than a whimpering child. Quote, quoting McCarney, he breaks down at the end of the episode, whining at his parents, I was winning, I would have won, over and over again, he wrote. Peters could not be reached for comment. McCarney admits to being embarrassed by supporting Peters in the past, saying she, quote, sounds a lot more like a Democrat and is a member of the, quote, delusional sore loser wing of the Republican Party. And then it goes on to talk about his long years of support for Tina Peters, as well as for Donald Trump. But breaking news, the chairman of the Mesa County Republican Party is calling upon Tina Peters to resign, which basically just means she doesn't get a paycheck anymore because she's been barred by a judge from conducting, from overseeing the elections, or even having any contact with her staff. So, in effect, she can't do anything anyway. But she's getting $93,000 this year from taxpayers for not being able to do anything in her office and for not being able to, in particular, run elections. I love this Star Trek episode. It's a classic one, The Squire of Gothos. If you're familiar with The Next Generation and the character of Q, a lot of folks think that Trelane is a Q. That's neither here nor there. I'm getting off on a Star Trek tangent because I love Star Trek, but I think this is a really apt analogy. It is time for Tina Peters to step away, to drop it all, and deal with her legal battles, and that's it. She lost the recount. My column on Wednesday in Colorado Politics, the Tina Peters charade crumbles, is worth reading. You can also check it out on the Denver Gazette at denvergazette.com. But I want to get back to those important issues of the day. And in particular, earlier in the 7 o'clock hour, we had on exclusively on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, Bill Huang, who is the director general of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office, which is the equivalent to the consulate for Taiwan based here in Denver. And he was very positive and uplifted about Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, expressing not only appreciation, but confidence that, you know, the Taiwanese people are used to the saber rattling of China and that they're not more worried than they were before Pelosi's visit. Eric Odland is Republican candidate for the United States Congress in the 7th Congressional District, our guest this entire hour. And look, you're a military veteran. Thank you for your service. We have a very important tense situation vis-a-vis China and Taiwan, the United States, and so forth. What's your take on Pelosi's visit and some of the fallout?
Well, I found myself in an awkward position of having to support Speaker Pelosi and her visit after they'd committed to the trip. We can't kowtow to China. We had to go through with it. Now, I question the judgment of having scheduled it to begin with. I question the intention of the trip. And as I was telling you off air, Jimmy, I'm most concerned about American strength right now and what the Biden administration and progressive policies and Nancy Pelosi have done to erode that strength in terms of compromising our energy independence, compromising our border security, being soft on crime, which has led to a crime wave domestically across our country, our economic crisis. Our military readiness is in question. The competency of the top brass and the president to lead our military is in question, especially in light of the disaster in Afghanistan where I served. It's perhaps the greatest military disaster in our history, which projected American weakness. I think that China and the world are looking at America and questioning, are we able to respond to global crises, and what is our resolve? So I want to address the fundamentals of American strength, which is getting our economy back on track. It's the engine of this country, and it is bedrock to our ability to project power. Mm. Same with securing our borders, addressing crime, restoring our energy independence. Those are the fundamentals of American strength.
I agree on all of those points, Eric Odland, but I do want to really hammer home the issue of American leadership and decisiveness and strength. Because in my view, China would not have made their threat, oh, if Pelosi does this, then this is what we're going to do, and then followed through with at least some actions on it in terms of their saber rattling and so forth, if they didn't think that the American president was weak. I think the projection of strength is utterly lacking, and China is only going to do this if they actually think it's in their interest, because you have an American president who is not going to bring that challenge. And quite frankly, we don't have that in Joe Biden in any way, shape, or form. He's weak and feckless.
He's weak and feckless. Well said, Jimmy. I think the question is, because this is a complex situation, we can try to understand China's intentions. We can try to predict, are they going to invade Taiwan or not? Or we can try to assess their economic and military readiness as well. And a lot of that I'm not privy to as a candidate. You know, I don't see the intelligence briefings. I'm not privy to the classified briefings that our military receives. But we can just look at the basics and say, is America positioned to maintain its primacy on the global stage indefinitely into the future? Or is this administration counteracting that and jeopardizing our ability to bring peace through strength and stability globally? And I would say they are. And so I want wise leadership at the helm. I want some foresight, thinking through and articulating American interests before we get into other foreign entanglements. I believe that Iraq and Afghanistan were failures of American foreign policy. They were disastrous. They worked to undermine our strength. They've destabilized the Middle East. They've made the world less safe. What I appreciated about President Trump was that he was bringing stability, he was reducing foreign entanglements, and getting us out of new wars. So that is something we need to be examining. But we need to build a foundation on rock, not sand, before we pick a fight with a country that is challenging our primacy.
So when we look at the Middle East, I mean, this just, you mentioned President Trump, what he did with the Abraham Accords. His administration is absolutely incredible, and Biden's only able to build on that because you do have a foundation that was laid by the Trump administration and puts Biden into a box on his Middle Eastern policy vis-a-vis Iran, which is unwilling right now to really progress with the nuclear talks that Biden would love to do because he wants to bring back that horrid Iranian nuclear deal. So that's a big development from the Trump team and administration that Biden now has to and can only build upon. But when you talked about Afghanistan, where you served, we had a complete disaster in the pullout by Biden and how he handled that. Absolutely disastrous. But now they're talking about Ayman al-Zawahiri, the al-Qaeda leader who was killed this week, and trying to get us to forget about what happened in the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. What is your take on that, especially as an Afghan veteran?
Well, I don't think we should forget about what happened in Afghanistan. That never should have occurred. Even as a captain, having served over there, I mean, I recognize the need to perhaps get out of there. But we'd reached a level of stability in the region with a small amount of troops on the ground and the right kind of force projection in the region. We probably could have sustained that indefinitely. The pullout was disastrous. Anybody who served in the military, we know the top brass knew that there was a better process for getting out of there more gracefully. You get civilians out first. You get the $85 billion worth of equipment that we left to fall into the hands of our enemies there. You get it out or you blow it in place. And then you get troops out. And you don't utilize Kabul, which was a security threat. And oh, by the way, that was this withdrawal led to the greatest loss of life that had occurred in the region in over 2 years in one day. So we could have exfilled out of Bagram, but I think we should have kept a presence there to deter China taking advantage of Afghanistan. I mean, there's significant rare earth metals there that is of strategic importance. It's a complex situation, Jimmy, but it was bungled by this administration and demonstrated to the world that we are weak and that there's a level of incompetency that is unprecedented. We need to rectify that.
Eric Odlin, our guest, again, Republican candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. We're going to pick up our conversation on the other side. We got several minutes left with Eric. We'll find out where you can go to learn more about him and his campaign, talk a couple more quick hit issues. But before we run to our break, News Talk 710 is proud to present our second annual Cigar Night with host Dennis Prager. It will be an evening of great conversation with like-minded people on Thursday night, September 1st, at the View House in Centennial. Your ticket will include hors d'oeuvres, a carving station, first beverage, one of Dennis's books, and premium cigars. Seating is limited. Get tickets and complete details at 710KNUS.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll pick up on the other side with our guest, Eric Odlin, as we continue the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Don't go anywhere. Oh, yes, we're rocking and rolling back. Little Lynyrd Skynyrd for you. This one makes me want to pull out a harmonica and play. I'm not going to do that. As Eric Odlin sees, I got my case of 13 harps right in front of me, right, sir?
That's why I came into the studio, Jimmy, just to hear you play your harmonica.
Exactly. Well, I would if we had more time to go ahead. Maybe off air, I'll give you a quick little congressional serenade. Eric Odlin joining us, Republican nominee in the 7th Congressional District. We have to get a Republican in this seat. And Eric, look. I am encouraged by the signs that we are seeing. There's some new polling out showing some good things for your race. The National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee has identified now Steve Monahan in the 6th Congressional District, is my understanding, as a race that they're targeting now and think is winnable. Imagine a scenario with Steve Monahan and Barb Kirkmeyer in the 8th Congressional District and Eric Odlin in the 7th Congressional District, where we have 6 of the 8 congressional seats as Republicans. I think it's possible.
I think it's possible too, Jimmy. It'd be fantastic. It would send a shockwave throughout Colorado, and it would demonstrate that Coloradans are fed up with these progressive policies. And we can influence the state from the congressional level. I mean, this would be significant, and it sends the right signal. The fact that 6 is now on the radar and is a winnable seat, that is showing that in the independents in this state are fed up, and they want just reasonable solutions. They don't want anything on the fringe. They want answers to the economy, answers to crime, answers to education, answers to our border. Progressives are failing, and that's what this is. This is a bellwether.
What's the polling data showing for your
race? So polling data that we just saw from the Congressional Leadership Fund shows we're within 2 points of my Democrat opponent.
To me, that's striking distance.
That is huge. That means we're on trend to win this because it was a D+6 a few months ago. Cook report went to D+4. Now we're polling is showing we're within 2 points. Biden won this district by 15 points with the newly drawn lines. We're going to win this race, Jimmy.
I'm very encouraged by that sign. I mean, yes, you got to level polling, you know, what does the polling actually show when it turns that these polls, when you're looking at congressional races, are a real good indication as a bellwether of where a race is headed. Now, let me ask you, Eric Odlin, to that end, why do you think your race for Congress is picking up steam?
Well, it's because the people in my district are, as I mentioned, fed up. And they're most concerned about the economy. They're struggling to survive these days because of these radical progressive policies that are driving inflation out of control, over 9%, meaning people are working a month for free. They're not getting paid because the dollar's been devalued. We've got to address that. We've got to take back control of the House of Representatives, take back control of the Senate, and then put in fiscally conservative policies that actually do something about inflation, not drive it further like this so-called Biden-Manchin, Inflation Reduction Act, which will actually achieve the exact opposite and will be economically disastrous.
The Inflation Reduction Act is another word play on the part of the Democrats, as we talked about earlier, and I think you're right that it's going to exacerbate the Biden-inflationary spiral that we are seeing right now. Again, Eric Odlin joining us here in studio. I want to ask you real quick, because earlier in the second hour, we had Riley Gaines on, NCAA swimmer, just graduated from University of Kentucky. She has been nominated on behalf of University of Kentucky as their nominee to be the NCAA's Woman of the Year. Contrast that with the University of Pennsylvania, which has nominated Leah Thomas, transgender athlete, to be their Woman of the Year. And when I was talking with Riley, we discussed a little bit about the importance of supporting candidates who recognize that Title IX should not be changed in a way that disadvantages women, as opposed to working to make sure we have equality between men and women in areas like sports and so forth. She's involved with supporting this Nine Pack that was founded. You'll be at their event next Saturday. I will as well. Talk to me a little bit briefly about your view on Title IX and women's rights in sports.
Well, I think this conversation is about protecting women's rights. It's not about ostracizing or being antagonistic towards the LGBTQ community or those who are transgender. That's not what this is about. But in my estimation, and look, this is common sense. Biological males, regardless of what hormones they are taking or if they've had gender reassignment surgery, it doesn't change the advantage they have in sports to compete. And that's what this is about. We want women to compete on an even playing field and be able to enjoy their own success and not have to compete against somebody who has biological advantages. It's just a common sense argument. Yeah. We want women to be able to achieve on a level playing field.
Eric Odlin, our guest here in studio, we're just about out of time, so I want to give you a final moment for a final word to our audience, and also favorite question of every candidate. Where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign?
The best place to start is my website, Jimmy. My name is Odlin. It's Odland, and so it's odlin4colorado.com. I'm pretty transparent. It's the most extensive political site I've seen in the nation. I lay out a large tract of my positions. I have a lot of videos. Over 50 radio interviews up on there. You can clearly see where I stand on a whole host of issues. I'm very transparent. I want voters to know who I am and what I stand for and what I'm going to do for them when I'm in Congress. I'm running because I love this country, I love this state, and I'm very concerned about the future for my children, my beautiful family, and families across Colorado and this country. I believe that the progressive policies are jeopardizing opportunity, jeopardizing individual liberties, and are incongruent with my own values. So I'm doing this to be of service. I hope that the people will see that, recognize my sincerity. I'm not a career politician, but I want to do the right thing and bring some reason back to our government.
Eric Odlin, as we've discussed, you've come a long way in your candidacy.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you stepping up. This is a winnable race. Let's try and get, I think it's possible, six Republicans out of eight in Congress.
Very possible.
Best of luck in the 7th Congressional District. That is it for us today. Just a couple of housekeeping notes. Next Saturday, I am scheduled to record an interview this week with none other than Attorney General Phil Weiser, and we will play that interview next Saturday. I haven't decided yet if it's going to be in the 7 or 8 o'clock hour. You do not want to miss that. It should be a very interesting conversation. Also, be sure, and I don't have time to get through the whole read here, but 710KNUS proud to present the Denver premiere of Larry Elder's newest movie, Uncle Tom 2. Go online, 710KNUS.com, for tickets and details. While they last, tickets are available. VIP meet and greet, and so much more. We will be back next Saturday, same time, same place, with more engaging, intelligent talk, Sang style. Randy is up next. Keep it here, 710 KNUS. And as always, may God bless America.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.